Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that emojis are really interesting.
What?
I totally forgot my tagline. And then I went to emoji. Okay. All right, recover from that. Where we believe, is it where we believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. All right. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but that we, what is it? I don't know what my...
Hey guys, welcome back to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we're here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. And today, I am here with Chris Roby. I said that like you're not usually here.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going.
Do you have another, podcast I don't know about?
Yeah, I didn't tell you about that one. Sorry.
Well, hey, Carly, I have a question for you to get started. If I asked you to make a list of all of your strengths and all of your weaknesses, which one would be easier for you to think about, or which list would be easier to fill, strengths or weaknesses?
I feel like this is a trick question. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because I feel like it would be easier for me to think through weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also more difficult because I don't want to think about my weaknesses.
Okay. Okay.
But I think when we, if I'm thinking about myself, it's easier for me to point out strengths in other people and to compare myself to other people. So it's almost easier for me to find weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
would be my guess.
Yeah. And that's actually the answer I get from teenagers a lot when I ask that question in a group. Hey, if I was going to ask you your strengths and weaknesses, which would be easier for you to think about? And 9 times out of 10, unless it's an incredibly confident teenager.
There are those.
Yeah, there are those out there. It is weaknesses that we kind of go to and navigate towards. And what we found with working with teenagers, if we're only focusing on the negative and only on the weaknesses, we don't get very far. And if you don't really believe that, think about your own life. If you're trying to get better at something you're not that good at, it takes a lot more effort than if you're going to lean into something you're actually good at.
Yeah, definitely. But I think as we talk through teen life groups and our experience there, finding strengths is so important for teenagers, mm-hmm. because like you said, a lot of them aren't looking for them. But we believe, as we say every week, that teenagers have strengths. Mm-hmm. We believe that they're not problems to be solved, but we believe that they already possess strengths that are going to help them get through life and going to help them moving forward as well. And so today we want to talk through what that looks like, how we can help teens develop strengths. And Chris, one of the activities that we do in our group is called The Wizard. Do you want to walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah. So it really has to do with this clip from The Wizard of Oz. And, you know, I've been doing group with Teen Life for about 10 years now in some shape or fashion. And it is becoming more difficult to talk about The Wizard of Oz because I take for granted that not everyone's seen it anymore.
It's not cool anymore?
It's really not. And then when you describe The Wizard of Oz to someone who's never seen it, it's a really trippy experience.
Yeah, I believe that.
It's just like flying monkeys involved. You know, it's a really strange story. But essentially, we walk through the whole story of The Wizard of Oz about this character, Dorothy, who all she wants to do is go home after she gets swept up into Oz. And she meets these three friends who really want something they feel like they don't have. So the Scarecrow wants a brain. Mm. The Lion wants courage. And the Tin Man wants a heart, right? So they go through all these adventures. And they're trying to get Dorothy down the Yellow Brick Road to see the Wizard. And then they meet up with the Wizard. And do you remember what they find out about the Wizard when they get there?
Well, he's a fake.
He's a phony, right? He's a guy behind a curtain pulling levers and making smoke and scaring everyone, but he actually has a big bag of nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And so we show them the clip where these four characters express their displeasure with the Wizard that, like, hey, you know, you're supposed to be this guy that can help us out and you have nothing to offer us. And so what the Wizard does is goes through and takes things out of a bag or out of the closet and explains to the Scarecrow, hey, I'm going to award you with a diploma, and explains how, you know, this is what a diploma means. And the Scarecrow gets, you know, big puffed up chest and gets really excited and then recites the Pythagorean theorem. And it's really ridiculous. And then the lion gets the medal and he gets all puffed up with pride. And then the Tin Man gets the ticking heart, right? And what's implicit in all of this is the wizard's trying to point out to them, hey guys, you came all this way wanting something that you feel like you didn't have, but you had it all along. And if you look back in the movie, they showed wisdom, they showed courage, they showed empathy, they showed they had a heart. The entire movie, I mean, like the Tin Man. Do you remember what they had to carry around with the Tin Man the whole time?
Oil, right?
Oil. Mm. Because he would rust. Why did he rust?
Because he was crying.
Because he cried through the whole stinking movie. So the guy who cried through the whole movie says, I don't have a heart. And when we reflect this back on a teenager, one of the things that we ask them, or at least I ask them, I guess, is, do you know somebody who says that you everyone knows they have so much potential and so much to offer, but they don't believe it? And a lot of the teenagers will raise their hand like, yeah, people say that about me all the time.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so just that realization that, you know, actually, if I was honest and really deep down inside, I knew I have a lot to offer here, but a lot of times I just don't believe it.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things we talk about when we do our training is this searching for hidden treasure, which kind of sounds a little dorky if we're being honest, but a lot of times teenagers have those strengths, but we have to search for them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways that we do that. You can point out their strengths. We're going to talk a little bit more about affirmation on the next podcast episode, but pointing out the things when you see them in your teenagers. And sometimes that is explicitly saying like, hey, I feel like you're really strong and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's also just giving them opportunities to use those strengths so that they can see for themselves, wow, I do have this. Mm-hmm. And so not only do you have to use words to say that, but if your teenager is smart, ask them, hey, can you go help your little brother? Because I know you're really good at this. And give them opportunity to use those strengths so that they know, hey, I have this. And not only can I use it for myself, but I can also use it to help others. And that's huge for teenagers to be able to think outside of themselves and how they can use their gifts to benefit other people.
I think also, too, there's always going to be an opportunity where your teenager hits a wall and they may not say it, but their actions show they don't think they have what it takes to overcome this obstacle. And as a helper, even having them recite the words, I have what it takes.
Yeah.
Even if they don't know what that is, I have what it takes to do this. Now, being able to say that then leads to, okay, so what is it that I have that that will help me overcome this obstacle? And you'll hear us repeat ourselves a lot in this podcast because repetition helps to kind of remember, but helping them think back to another time in their life where they had to overcome an obstacle, they used that quality to get through that back then. And that same quality hadn't gone anywhere, right? You hadn't lost that talent, you hadn't lost that muscle. Helping them remember, okay, what is it about you that's going to help you get through this? Because as an adult, especially the older the teenager gets, you don't want to be the one who's doing it for them, right? You want them to figure out, what is it that I have, do I possess, that nobody can take away from me that's going to help me overcome this obstacle.
Yeah, I love that. And so as you think through your teenagers, ask them, what do they think their strengths are? They probably know.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, help them think through that. Ask them, what do they see in other people that they really admire? Strengths are, they have them already, but it's also something that can be grown and cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
And so remembering both, that we're not asking them to be someone they're not. If they're not good at math, don't try pushing them necessarily to be a math teacher or math professor when they grow up. Invite them to use their strengths, but also know there are going to be some strengths that they don't have as much of, and work through how we can help them grow those as well.
Absolutely.
So now, Chris, one thing that I want to talk about today is emojis.
I've recently come across them.
Recently?
Not that recently, but I use them more.
There you go.
Than I used to. Yeah.
Well, because our teenagers in this generation love emojis. They're going to use it all the time. It's rare, I feel like, for you to see a caption, a comment, a text from a teenager that doesn't include some sort of emoji. Mm-hmm. Even if it's ironically used, they're using emojis.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to talk through what are some popular ones for teens. We're also going to give you a tip because there is one that is out and you are old if you use it. And I use it all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to talk about this. All right. So if you remember when we talked through our terms, one of the terms was fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fire. That's right. Lit.
Lit. Uh-huh. And so the fire emoji is big. And while adults probably would use that for like something's hot, spicy, or literal fire, they would use that for when something is lit or cool.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So just know that that's out there.
Hot is the new cool.
Exactly.
Yes.
The eye roll is also a big one. And if you go to our website, teenlifepodcast.com, and look for this episode, episode number 8, we'll put all these emojis in there so you can actually see them for yourself. If you don't know what I'm talking about when I say eye roll, hopefully you do. But there's an emoji that literally is rolling its eyes. And you might take that to mean disrespect, but that could also just mean, which is, I suppose, is still disrespectful, but like, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you said something that the teenager's like, eye roll, yes, I'll be there.
Right, right. Yeah. And I could see that being a disrespectful thing, but they're not meaning it that way.
No, they're trying to be funny when mm-hmm. they do it. One that is so confusing to me, and you might have to see this if you don't know what I'm talking about. So they will put an eye emoji, the lip emoji, and then another eye emoji.
So I'm looking at this. Carly typed this out in front of me. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, I make no sense of this. Can you please interpret this for me, Carly?
It looks so funny. It makes me laugh. I don't know. I will also post the link where I got some of this stuff from, but apparently that means it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So if you remember back in the days when emojis weren't a thing, there was like this, like, huh? Like hands up type thing that people would do with like the parentheses and different brackets and stuff. I think that's what it is in this generation terms. So it's kind of like a, I don't know, it is what it is.
I'll be honest with you, Carly, that did not help at all. Because again, if you're looking at this, Carly's always great at explaining things, but this is baffling me. Like why this is, it is what it is.
But let's see, it could also mean staring, shock, anger, surprise.
Okay.
It can mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
So you're just using these like big eyes and lips, like, ooh, I don't know.
This might be where you phone a teenager and ask, what is this?
Exactly. I'm just saying you will see it. I've seen it on TikTok.
Yeah.
It's out there.
I'm glad to know that.
Another one is the skull or the crossbones emoji, which means dead, which might sound dark.
It is dark. It sounds dark.
A lot of teenagers use that in replace of like laughing. Like they're like, I'm dead. Like that's too funny. I'm dead. And so they will sometimes use that when it's supposed to be funny. You might be looking like being like, why did you just send me that emoji when I said something?
So that joke kills.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I'm dead.
I'm literally dead. And we'll talk through that, what they use instead of what we currently use is what they would use that for. The emoji where the tears are like streaming down their face, not just like crying, like streaming. It is actually called the crying loudly emoji. And I love that. I think that's so funny that it is like obviously very dramatic. And so our teenagers use that.
I feel like that particular emoji is more disturbing to me. I don't know what it's about, like the fountain of tears coming down, that like that just seems distressed.
It does. But that could mean laughing. It could mean crying. It could just mean drama, that something's going on. And so that one can mean a lot, but you will see that one. Another one is like the emojis, like almost like the praying hands.
Pray hands.
I see people use this as like high five.
Oh, really?
I don't think teenagers would use it that way. I see it a lot for like, thank you. Please, like they're making a request. And so if you see these two emojis with their hands, that's what that means. I guess it's one emoji, not two emojis, the two hands emojis.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to older adults, one of the ones that I see used a lot that teenagers would roll their eyes at is the crying laughing emoji. Have you ever used this one, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that that wasn't something I'm supposed to use anymore.
So that and side parts apparently are out. It's been this big thing. Skinny jeans, all the things that this generation does not like. But, and I don't know why that is, but they would use the dead emoji or the crying loudly emoji instead of this. You won't probably see very many teenagers using that anymore.
Unironically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I use this probably on a daily basis, so I will fully accept that I'm old and I won't get rid of it because I still think it's funny.
Me and you text a lot. I've seen it a lot from you.
It is the easiest way when I'm like laughing and not just like, haha, like, but really laughing. It's the easiest way to get that across.
And that's this, before we went any farther, this is a really good indication of how quickly culture moves because emojis haven't been around that long.
No.
And now we have emojis that are considered dated.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if this seems like hard to keep up with, likely things will change pretty quickly.
Well, that's what I'd say. I would say teenagers probably aren't using your more basic ones all the time. Like you, like just a normal smiley face. They're not using those as much. They're going to find these obscure, weird ways to say what they mean in emojis that aren't as obvious as we might think they are.
Can I share a quick emoji story with you?
I would love that.
Okay. Back when I discovered emojis, I didn't understand emojis. I didn't know how to use them. And so I made a decision to be a little bit ironic with it and just post a unicorn emoji with things that didn't actually relate to what I was saying, just to kind of jack with people. And so I would say something and I would put a unicorn emoji at the end of it. And I would get a lot of, what are you talking about, Chris? And so that's how I kind of got into emojis is to use them to kind of mess with people. You can cut that if you want to.
I love that. No, I love that. One thing we were talking about before we pressed record, though, Chris, one emoji that has gotten has caused trouble is the thumbs up emoji.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that.
So thumbs up, depending on how you want to use it, is to acknowledge that I got a message, right? I don't know. I've seen people tweet about how the thumbs up emoji has been used by their older parents in ways that are more hurtful than they realize. Like I've seen tweets of like screenshots of conversations with parents where they shared something really heavy with their parents and then they just tweeted a thumbs up or texted a thumbs up emoji. Yeah. Felt very dismissive. And so, yeah, the thumbs up emoji is useful for certain things, but understand too, if they might come off as dismissive if you're not careful.
And that's what I will say. Emojis are fun to add to your conversation, but they can't always just take the place of words. Mm-hmm. That would probably be a word for our teenagers too. But if you're texting with teenagers, sometimes actually saying the words and adding an emoji is better than just sending like a thumbs up. But tell them, thanks for sharing that is better than just giving them a thumbs up. So that's a great thought. Finally, before we move on from emojis, one thing we need to discuss is inappropriate emojis. Mm-hmm. And the emojis themselves maybe aren't inappropriate, but especially food emojis are used in appropriate ways for teenagers. So if you are using by accident or maybe on purpose, or you see your teenagers using maybe eggplants, tacos, peaches, cherries, know that these can have double meanings and you need to be careful about that.
This is not a foodie conversation usually, if that's...
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not, yeah.
And so we'll also post a link that will give you like a slang guide if you really want to go into... It's hard to talk through all of that on a podcast where you can't see it, but if you want to go through and look at different emojis and how they might be used to convey different messages, we'll post that at the link on our website. And so you can go find all of those if you are really curious, but just know that there are some emojis that might look innocent and then they're being used for sexual acts. That's very unfortunate.
That's right. I hope this, I feel like we've done some good work here, Carly, that I feel like we've educated our podcast listeners and they can use this information to be better texters.
I sure hope so.
I hope so too.
So finally for our tip today, this one I found on Instagram, and I'll post the link as well for this on our website. But it said, as I saw it come across my Instagram, I was like, wow, that is a small piece of advice, but it's really, really powerful. And it doesn't matter what age your kids are or even what your job is. If you're a parent or if you're a teacher or counselor, this applies. And it's at the end of the day, instead of thinking about what you did wrong, ask yourself, what can I learn from today? And so that just mind shift from, man, I messed up. I wish I hadn't said that. And just kind of bashing, you're not going to be perfect. And so instead of looking at that in a negative way, a way to reframe that is just, what can I learn from today?
That's right. And we can do this concept of learning. We can bring to our kids from all different angles to talk about the entire day, or if something happened that they did make a mistake or did maybe didn't hit the expectations that they're looking for, asking what can we learn from this? Mm-hmm. What can we take forward from this? What lessons can we take? And you hear this a lot from pro athletes. You'll hear them interviewed after a big loss. You know, especially like baseball players of 162 games, they'll talk about, you know, lessons they learned and things they're going to carry on to the next game instead of saying, man, can't believe I, you know, drop that catch or, you know, struck out or whatever. It's like, how am I going to do better next time? And the only way you're going to do that is to actually learn from it.
Exactly. And well, in the context of athletes, they watch film. Mm-hmm. They actually go back and think through what happened, but not in the way of like, man, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I can't ever do it. But they always think about, okay, I'm learning, so next time I'm better about that. Mm-hmm. And so whether that's teaching your teenagers to do that and asking your teenager that, whether this is something that you use yourself of thinking through, man, I was really short with my teenager today. Mm-hmm. And next time, what can I do instead? How can I maybe just take a deep breath before I, or man, I assumed something that my teenager wasn't even doing. And next time I'm going to do this and I'm going to learn from that instead of just beating yourself up of like, man, I had an awful day.
I think the only way this really works, though, is with an eye to the future. Mm-hmm. That we and our teenager have an eye to the future that's positive, that we want something different or better. And so in order to achieve that, you have to be able to take that stock and to be able to say, what did I learn from today that tomorrow can be better? And so if you're just living day to day right now, which I know a lot of us are, I encourage you to think, to gradually start to shift that mind back towards the future of what do we hope for? What do we want? What do we long for? So that questions like this can really be effective for us.
Exactly. And so as you go out into the world and interact with teenagers, we hope that you'll use this conversation that we had today to help teenagers find strengths and to also help you move forward as you look towards the future.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.